Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We are all in a battle to end and or prevent harsh prison sentences and abuses within the penal system nationwide. Stephen Bobo, former correction officer, now advocate for the youth and communities around the country. Stephen's passion is to end the school-to-prison pipeline, and he will be discussing his mission and goals to the eventual success of turning the life of young people around from destruction to achievement and advocacy work of their own. Stephen will also discuss ways in which he can be reached for those of you who would like to volunteer time working in unity with Stephen and others, whether it be physical volunteer work or virtual, via the phone, emails, and or letter writing. So let's welcome Stephen Bobo back again, and he will be filling us in on all the details and also updating us on the last from the last show. Stephen, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Great. So, Stephen, you want to talk about some of the things that we have talked about last week and then fill us in on the other things that you are working on?
Last time, I guess we were talking more about, started talking about the prison pipeline for the schools, to the prison, and from the prisons,
mm-hmm.
the whole scenario. I know I read some articles, some feedback from people that said that I wasn't talking. I don't know what I'm talking about and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is, I know that the prison system is broken. I know this prison system is broken. I know it's broken. But I also know that there's also a lot more things we can do for these juveniles and for these kids that's in the system. There has to be a lot more that we can do as, huh? Has to be a lot more that we can do as.
I wanted to clear something up. There were some comments about what you had said, but I think they misunderstood because you were talking about trying to prevent the kids from going from school to prison because of their own behaviors. And I believe what you were saying, at least this is what I understood, is that you were saying that these kids have so much potential, but because of the way the system is out in the communities and
mm-hmm.
in the schools and everything, it's not the kids' fault, but what comes out of it all is that the kids end up becoming very frustrated, angry or whatever. And you're talking about trying to help them or prevent them from getting to that point. So maybe you can speak more on that before we go into anything else.
Okay. Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say is that, you know, there has to be a way that we can get these children to understand that that way is not the right way. But I know you're frustrated. I know the things that go on frustrate you. I get that because it's not made for everybody. The system is meant for you to try. It's almost meant for you to fail. But there's a way that you can get past it. You have to stay positive and keep working for the best because right now the system is not your friend. And I tell that to anybody. This is not your friend. This is not my friend. I thought, like I said before, I thought I was part of the system, but I ended up going in the system. So it's not your friend. So you have to use the right decisions to overcome what's going on because they're not going to give you anything. You have to take it on your own to make it better for yourself.
Exactly. You know, it's very difficult even for us as adults.
Yes, it is.
And these kids don't have the role models that they once had, and something that what you're doing to work with them is something that a
mm-hmm.
lot of others should be doing the same thing.
Exactly, that's the main thing. We have to take time out of our schedules to be able to walk with these kids to show them the right way, because there is a right way. But we all have to be part of it to show them, because you can't be acting like a crazy person and then try to help a kid to get them to do right, because you're not right in yourself. How are you going to help them? So my thing is, we need to find a way for all of us to get together, as far as adults, need to get together, get on the same page, and help these kids, because boys and girl clubs, we need to be there. We need to be more role models as male mentors to these kids. And females need female mentors too, because I cannot relate to a female because I don't know what females have to go through nowadays, but I can understand what guys are going through. So we need more females out there, positive females out there that can talk to these young girls. You know, even if you did some time in prison, come and when you come out, come back and tell these young ladies the way that you're going about stuff is not the way to go. You know, hopping around from man to man, room, bedroom to bedroom, that's not the way to go.
You know, that's the truth. And the sad thing about it is people complain all the time about how
mm-hmm.
someone's doing something. And instead
right.
of trying to work with them.
Exactly.
Instead of trying to work with
exactly.
them, that's the problem. So,
that's,
again, if you can, Stephen, if you can, once
yes,
again,
sir.
For those who may want to help, do some volunteer work or whatever, in virtual, anyone can do virtual volunteer work. You know, they can help
mm-hmm.
with making phone calls, writing letters, you know, being
yeah.
even being mentors to the kids in their states, because what you're doing
mm-hmm.
is nationwide.
That's right. That's right. Like I said, just take time out to look. There's kids, you know, you can drive the bus down the street, right on the bus. You can see some like one of these kids, they're having a bad day. Ask them, what's going on? What can I help you do? What can I talk to you about? What's going on? Sit down with them and talk to them. Not every kid that you see is a bad kid. Not every kid you see is a drug dealer or a gangbanger. You can sit down and talk to these kids. But you know what? There are the ones that are that way. But those are ones you still can talk to. You can still talk to them. Because, you know, sometimes you have to reach them because they won't reach out to you. You have to reach out to them. Because a lot of these kids are scared to reach out to you because they've been burnt so many times by adults. And that's understandable. You know, they don't want to deal with adults because they have been treated badly by adults. They're scared of the police. They're scared to go to court. They're scared of judges. They're scared of prosecutors. And I understand that. But there are times where you're going to have to, you know, sit aside and talk to these kids because they are, like Whitney said in that song, these are our future. Because I look at it now, these kids are the ones going to be taking care of me when I get older.
Exactly.
So I need them.
You had mentioned judges. That's another thing. You had spoken briefly earlier about
mm-hmm.
judges and you know the corruption that goes on even with the courts, which doesn't which contributes to these kids, these adolescents
yes,
or juveniles becoming just another statistic in the penal system. But do you
want
to speak a little bit about that?
Yes, I do. It's funny that you brought that up because this past weekend I was at a friend's 50th wedding anniversary. And inside the wedding anniversary was a lady here in North Carolina that was a judge. And I introduced myself to her, and I told her what I do, what I like to do, what I'm trying to accomplish. And I told her about the pipeline. And she said, for long as she did not believe it was real, she's like, but now being in the system and being a judge, I see it every day. It is real. So she said, she wants to work with me. So I'm willing to get with her and we'll talk about trying how we can do stuff here in North Carolina. I want to build out to Ohio. And so this is a thing that I am working on dramatically. That's my main goal now is trying to get this pipeline stopped because these kids need us. You know, I'm tired of waking up in the morning and seeing on the news where another juvenile then killed somebody or another juvenile is going to jail. I just watched the news today here in North Carolina. We had one go to jail today for a murder, and he's like 17. So now he's going to be tried as an adult. And now he has I used to be one of the main people who say, you do adult time, do adult crime, you need to do the adult time. But really and truthfully, I was wrong. Nobody that young, under age of 18, should be going to adult prison. There's no reason why they should be going to adult prison. For one, you'll be nothing but bait for these men that's in there or for the women that's in there. There's no reason that you need to be going to prison at that age. I really disagree with that. Like I said before, I did agree with it, but I don't agree with it now. That is something that we need to also stop. That's part of that pipeline. We have to stop that. These are doing these crimes. As adult, these adult crimes, are they considered adult crimes, murder and stuff like that? Yes, that is a big offense. But what has happened in that child's mind that has made him go that route? You know, there could be other things involved. There could be a mental problem, could be a disability. you know, there's so many things that could be done with these kids that you don't know until you have them tested. And half the time the testing is bogus. You know, so these kids are going to prison on stuff that they're going to prison for, something that they probably really didn't understand why they're going to jail for. Or, you know, we all saw what the Central Park Five, they were scared. They got scared into a confession. And that happens a lot with these young kids that go to prison. They don't understand what's going on. There's some of them who do have a disability. They can't read or whatever. So, see, there has to be something that we as adults need to take a hold of our children and say, hey, look, you're having a problem here. What's going on? What can I do to help you? That's the main thing. We have to, as adults. We have to take care, take our kids back, because the system is claiming them. And like I said, I'd be darned if the system claims mine. Mine's 19, she's about to be 20, but the system's still not going to claim her. No.
You know, if everyone volunteered in different states, we could cover the whole United States. And all they would need to do is, if you wanted to oversee, or if you wanted to have, they can all join. You could have teleconference meetings where everybody that's doing some volunteer work with you in ensuring that these youth are learning and are being equipped with the right tools to do it. You could have a teleconference call, like a monthly teleconference call with everybody being on it. Each one could do some volunteer work in their own state. And this is the way to success. So by them calling you, if they call you, and maybe you could talk with them, even you to set it up so you could have a teleconference meeting with anyone that wants to volunteer. And that would be the start. And then also recruit through Volunteer Match or these recruiting nonprofit recruiting organizations where you can recruit community workers. You could recruit social workers, students, law students, or whatever to work with you in the organization. At the same time, have somebody, a coordinator, that can contact these community colleges or these places where they can get their GED if they drop out, and then contact these gyms where they could get a free access to go to the gym and groups with someone, an adult, so that they will have some good feelings about themselves. But there is so many ways that people can volunteer. They may not think that they can do anything, but please contact Stephen Bobel and talk to him. Let him explain to you how easy it would be for you to do some volunteer work with them. And again, Stephen, can you give your contact information?
Yes, ma'am. You can contact me on Facebook, Stephen Bobel, S-T-E-V-E-N, Bobo. I'm on Facebook. You can also contact me on my prison group that's on there. It's U.S. Prison Watch, North Carolina. I'm on that's my group. I also have school to prison pipeline. That's also on Facebook. Look me up. Please look me up. If you guys inbox me on that number, inbox me on that group, I will definitely give you my personal phone number, and then we can definitely talk about some stuff. I would love to have you aboard. I need all the people we can get so we can end this pipeline, because these kids need us. They need us dramatically.
I'd like to say one more thing too, Stephen. There's it's an organization. It's called recycles.org, www.recycles.org. Now, this is a program where there's people that are either going out of business, or they have, computers, or they have filing cabinets, or they have files, they have office furniture, they have all kinds of things that they donate to this recycles.org, and people can actually put in for them in different states across the country. This is a way also to get free things for either the volunteers or for the kids that they're going to be working with. So these kids will have these equipments in their home that they may not be able to afford outside, and it would be an asset there. So check it out, recycles.org, www.recycles.org, and register with them and put in for some of these things. And the volunteers can do the same through working with you. They can let you know because what will happen once you register, they'll let you know what's available and what state it's available. And then you can find out from the volunteer if they want you to put in for it. And that way, everybody's in, on one accord
page
with what they're doing,
yes,
the equipment that they're going to be putting in for, and the work you're going to be doing with these kids.
Okay. That's a good idea. I definitely will do that. Because we'll do that. Because that's something that you're right. That's something that exactly that we need to do. Because the more people we have, the more noise that we make, the more things that people will listen. Like I said, we can let the system know that we're not going to take no more of these kids going to prison over silly stuff. We need to be a part of what these kids are going through because they need us as adults. They need us. They need us men as leaders. They need you women as leaders because that is the problem. There is no leaders out there that can take these kids under their wings and show them the right way. Because there's no more Martin Luther Kings. There's no more of that. There needs to be somebody like that who can stand up to take these kids and show these people what we need to do. There's none of that anymore because too many people want to hear what Carly C and all these people, rappers and stuff like that. Okay, they're entertainers, but they're not people who want, I want them to lead my child. You know, it's, I'm not dogging people. I'm not dogging musicians. I'm not dogging none of them. I love some of their music. But like I said, some of that stuff, I do not want them leading my children in. Because are you going to walk into a business, dressed like that or acting like that or talking like that? You know you're not going to do that. I'm not saying
exactly.
You're not going to be Bill Cosby and Claire Huxtable. You know, not all of us have that education level. But you can have it because you can go back to school and get it. That's the main thing. Go back to school and get your education. Those who have get your GED, okay, there's one step. All right, next step, go to a junior college. Get a two-year degree. Get a certificate. Just because you've got a GED doesn't mean you have to stop there. Don't stop there. Go further. I tell my friends, I got one of my friends, she's going back to school. I got another friend who's going back to school. She's getting her master's. And I told her, don't stop at your master's. Go get your doctorate. Don't stop.
Exactly.
That's one thing they cannot take from you. They cannot take your mind from you. You have to show them that you're not scared. Do what you're supposed to do. Be the right person. Get the job and be the best that you can be. That's what I'm saying, everybody. Be the best you can be because if you don't, they're going to take it all from you. Just because you have a number, because you're more than a number. Just like I tell people all my time, my name's Stephen Bobo, I'm not a number. I did have a number, but I'm not a number. My number doesn't describe who I am. What I do now describes who I am. So this is what I do now is help kids try to get better. Like I said, I want to go into the jails and the juvenile jails and tell them because you are not going to make it as long as you keep doing the stuff that you're doing because they do not care about you in this system. They do not care about you. It's sickening to see the kids are always in trouble. And it's not their fault. I don't blame them for that. Some of them do take the wrong path because they choose to, but some of them don't understand that there's other choices out there because they might not be around that type of stuff. You know, their grandma's raising them, and grandma living off of Social Security. Grandma can't get the stuff that he wants or she wants. So they go up there and sell drugs so they can get the stuff that they want to see everybody else have. And that's not the right way. You need to get a job. You know, sometimes they're scared to get jobs because they don't think they'll get hired.
I think teaching them mm-hmm. how to make their own job. Young people today, they need some guidance. And you know what? They can start, and young people have done this. They can start their own nonprofit
mm-hmm.
organizations. And where they would need some help. But I'll tell you, even writing books, be with them, help them to get a book started, and you watch how they go with that. And it will make them feel
mm-hmm.
so good about themselves because it's a form of therapy. Kids today, they can do so much. They need this guidance. And I'll tell you, not everybody's for college. But the thing is being creative. If we can teach these kids to be creative, to do their own thing, not to depend on the system, because this system is so dysfunctional. This whole country is dysfunctional.
Sure is.
But if we can
teach these
kids how to do for themselves, that's what they need, because they have more sense than a lot of these people, these adults, a lot of these politicians,
they do.
A lot of You know,
they do.
They have so much more going for them. They just need somebody to understand them. And this is where it would, if we can get volunteers around the country to work with you, I know it can be successful. Mm-hmm. I know.
It can be. I have like I said, my friend, Danielle Andrews, she right now, she's going back to school for art. And she already has a degree in art and stuff like that. But she wants to be able to have handicapped children, kids with autism, and she wants to go pick it back in prisoners to have the people show through paint. She wants to educate through painting, so they can paint their feelings, show them what's going on in their world, how do they feel. So she wants to put it on an art board, right? Let them make art. And so I said, I think that's a good idea, because kids love to draw. So maybe they can draw and tell you what's happening in their household or what's going on with them. Why do they feel this type of way? Why they're having problems with school? Maybe they're scared of the teacher. Maybe the teacher has done something to them. Maybe they can draw the picture to make the teacher look like a monster, so she's scared of her. So, you know, there's so many things that drawing and art can do to be able to show you what's wrong. So I commend her for doing that, because, Lord, we need to find a way how to get through these kids. We sure do. And also in the prison system, she wants to do that too, the art with the prisoners. And there's so many people and so many guys in prison who have talent in art and drawing and writing books and music and stuff like, just not rapping. They have people who play the instruments and sing. And so there's a lot of things that these people, they can do. And like I said, it's just not art, it's just not hip-hop and rapping and shooting guns and stuff like that. They have talent in other things. And so they need to understand that you can do other things and be productive. You don't have to be a pro athlete to be productive. You can write a book, just like you said, write a book. Make a beautiful picture. Make a beautiful picture. There you go. You can do, there's something productive. You don't have to be an athlete.
And you,
not saying there's nothing.
And you know,
Steven, I'm sorry.
But last week I interviewed Taylor and Cecilia Conley. And they have started, it's called Design Conviction, and they're into all the drawings, the artwork, the poems, and everything else that prisoners are doing. And they are trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. And this is where networking comes in, too, because you and Taylor and Cecilia and others that have some kind of organization can bring all these skills, all these potential ideas together. And have these teleconference calls and discuss how everyone can get together and use these resources for these kids. So if you don't mind, at some point in time, I'd like to connect you with Cecilia and her husband, and maybe do some national networking as well.
Yes, ma'am. No problem.
Now Taylor is still in. He's still inside, but he's doing his work from the inside, and Cecilia's doing the website and the coordination and everything. So this is where everyone can be of some help to save these juveniles, not these young people, but also to save the older ones that are maybe already in prison or coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's so true. And that's another thing, too, that we need to understand, that one day they're going to get, we're getting out. So there has to be a way that we can help them too. Because I know when I got out, if it wasn't for my wife and my family, I'd have been lost, because I didn't know where to go. Even though I only did 22 months. And the simple fact is, I had a place to lay my head. I had a car. So I had a place to go back and forth and get a job and stuff like that. And so those people don't have none of that. So they get out, they have nowhere to go, so they're lost. So now they're saying, well, I might as well go back in, because at least I have somewhere to lay my head. You know, and that's how, and we don't want them to think that way. We have to find a way for these people, for inmates, returning citizens, to be able to be productive citizens, because you can be. Just because you made a mistake, don't make another mistake twice so you have to go back so you have somewhere to live. It doesn't have to be like this. So that's another thing we need to do also, is find places for those returning citizens who have a place to stay, so they don't have to stay on the streets, or they don't have to go back. That's the main thing. That's another big thing.
And they have, as I said before, they have government surplus properties. So So that's another thing where some negotiating could go on, is maybe to meet with the, you know, the people in the different city councils and things like that, to see if they're willing to work with you in providing either properties or providing some kind of buildings that are not being used to house these kids, to train them, or to, you know, to have some kind of schooling, have some kind of, you know, something that can help.
That's a good idea. Because you find a building, a house or a building that needs to be redone, train these kids how to do electrical work, heating and air conditioning, putting up plywall and stuff like that. Redo the building from the inside out. You do it by them, have the kids inside do it, and then you bring the inmates in and have them do it too. You know, stuff like that. Have them fix your own place up. And that's a whole nother thing. It's not going to cost the system nothing. That's what I would do. That's a good idea.
And there's so many buildings that are just wasting. So many buildings that are not being used. Yeah.
So many. And that's another way that churches need to be able to do things like that also, because I know for a fact that a lot of them don't. A lot of them, I hate to say that, but a lot of them don't. They turn their backs on inmates and people that's coming out of the system. They do. I've seen it.
Not everyone.
But luckily, I have.
Not everyone.
Yeah, right.
Not everyone that says,
right.
Lord, is going to make it.
That's right. That's so right. I don't understand that. You're right. You're so right. Oh, my God, you're so right.
This
really gets
churches,
me fired up for that. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of churches right here in Massachusetts, in Brockton, Mass, as a matter of fact. One of them is being used. The other one across the street has been unused for years, and it's right next to a homeless shelter. So you go figure, you know, take that church and use it for something positive, you know, get something going for these homeless people or whatever, but they don't,
right.
Not everybody thinks the same.
No, they don't. And you know, that's so bad because it has to happen that way, because everybody eventually is going to know somebody that was in the system. Eventually, somebody's going to know somebody who was in the system. I don't care if you're a pastor, a priest, I don't care who you are. Eventually, you're going to know somebody who was in the system, and they're going to be coming home. So are you going to be there to help them? That's the question. Are you going to be there to help them? Are you going to be there? Are you going to be the one who's going to turn the back on them just because they made a mistake?
Yeah.
And I know that's wrong to say stuff like that, but I'm serious.
No,
it's true. You just going to be the one? Are you going to be the one who's going to say, you know what? Turn your back, you know, just want you to pray about it. Man, and sometimes prayer helps. Prayer does help. Don't get me wrong. Prayer does help. But sometimes you've got to have that push to get you in the right direction.
Exactly.
Because that's going to make you be bitter. Now you're going to be really bitter, going to make that person bitter against everything, family, church, and everything, because you won't help me. It's not about somebody always looking for help. Sometimes people actually do need help.
Yeah. And I think that's why these kids are so bitter, because they
yep,
are crying out for help in their own ways by their actions. They're crying out for help, and people are not listening. And that's what gets them together.
No, they're not.
But
you know, they quickly want to, yeah, you're right. They quickly want to say something else. People want to say, you know what, you need to do this or you need to do that. So how can they do this, and how are they going to do that if you don't show them the right way to do it?
Exactly.
They need to know the right way, because like I said, if it wasn't for my grandfather, because my father wasn't around, if it wasn't for my grandfather, some of the stuff I wouldn't even know. He's the one who taught me how to cut grass and how to do all this type of stuff. My grandfather, not my father, my grandfather. And like I said, and then as I went on down the line, my mom showed me a lot of stuff. And like I said, then as I got married, my wife showed me things. Now, see, that's wrong right there. The woman shouldn't have to show the husband how to do some things. I should already know how to do some of this stuff. But if I didn't have that man in my life, I said, we go back to that. There's a father figure that wasn't in my life. So, you know, that's a lot of the reason why a lot of these young men are in prison, because they didn't have a father figure. And I know I'm a father.
Really?
And I can say that a father wasn't in some of these kids' lives, so they don't understand. They don't understand how to be
exactly.
Me.
Most kids, even in prison, even adults, adults now, when they went in, they were the same thing without father, you know, and that's what's caused a lot of their downfalls.
Yep.
And people are crying out in the communities to keep them in prison for the rest of their lives. You know, these are the righteous. But anyway, Stephen, I was going to say real quickly, We're running out
yes,
of
ma'am.
time, so I wanted to let you say whatever you want to say from here on in, but I just want to let everyone know we will be picking up on this next Thursday, June 20th,
okay.
at the same time, 6:30 p.m. So, Stephen, do you
fine,
have any
right
last-minute words? Okay.
No.
I think what you're doing is excellent.
Thank you. I'll be here next Thursday, and please tell somebody in so they can listen. Somebody knows somebody who's in the system. Somebody knows has a juvenile who's in the system, who is a parent has a juvenile in the system. Like I said, please join me so we can stop this prison pipeline. I need people
Amen.
To help.
Thank you.
People will get their hands dirty. We need that.
And I'll tell you, it is very well needed. And if it can be successful with networking and with volunteer work and everything else, it would be perfect. There's a lot of free conference calls that you can set up, and there's mm-hmm. a way for everybody to come connect together on these conference calls to plan, to brainstorm, to do whatever. Stephen, you've been a blessing coming on, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Again, I'd like to have you connected with Taylor and his wife, Cecilia Conley, and also, like you say, mm-hmm. with J.D. Rutherford. You're all doing great work, and I really appreciate
thank
what
you.
You're doing. We thank you very
thank
much,
you.
And we'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you.
Thank you.